Morning Wave Fellowship Church. How's everyone doing? If you haven't turned there yet, would you do so now? But we are in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, working our way through verses 17 through 24 today. And we got done singing about the difference between who we used to be and who we are now in Christ. This morning we are talking about the old self, the difference between those who are apart from Christ and the new self, those who are in Christ. There's really only two people in this world, two kinds of people, those who are apart from Christ and those who are in Christ. Jesus Christ is the dividing line. He is the game changer. Everything revolves around Him and whether or not you are on this side of the fence or on that side of the fence. This morning, our central truth is Jesus Christ frees us from sin and gives us life. The great truth of the Bible, the gospel message, the good news is that Jesus frees us from sin. And He frees us to life as well. And what we're talking about is the transformation that occurs when an individual gives his or her life over to Christ. It's not just about salvation for eternity and heaven. It's about what Christ wants to do in your heart, in your very personhood, to change you from who you used to be into what He has called you to be. And so we're going to look first in verses 17 through 19 about how we used to be apart from Christ. And then at the second half, talk about what we now are in Christ. Verse 17, would you read along with me? Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Paul is exhorting you and I to no longer walk like the Gentiles being those who are exclusive, apart from Jesus Christ's transforming power. It represents the old self. Paul's saying, do not walk like you used to, walk in the newness of Christ. And he lists a whole bunch of negative things. He lists six different negative things that describe our old walk, saying, don't walk like that anymore. This is how we used to walk. Church, apart from Christ, you and I, we were futile in our minds. That's the first description of our old self. Apart from Christ, you and I were futile in our minds. What does that mean? It just means it was completely impossible to be good, to do good, to think good, to have any salvation, any life in this life. It was just futile thinking on our part. Being apart from Creator God and His plans and His will and His power and His working, it was just futile. It's futile to think that we are smarter than the Creator Himself. It's futile to think that we can do it better than He can. To believe that His way is not as good as our way of doing things. It's futile. But look at the world in which we live in today. Look at all the polls. Look at all the research. Look at all the studies. Pick a topic and it doesn't look good for us. Pick a subject. Look at a new recent study. This world, this culture, this society is getting worse and worse. I mean, I used to teach high schoolers and I saw it every day. The futility of thinking that we can do it better when it comes to politics. It's futile. Now, go vote. But don't you dare think that politics is going to fix this country. It's just futile. The only thing, the only person who can fix this culture, this society, and your own heart is Jesus Christ. So we used to walk in futility of our minds. Jump down to the back half of verse 18. It says, due to their hardness of heart. The language in this next verse, verse 18, kind of works its way backwards, and there's a cause and effect relationship beginning with the heart. You and I, apart from Christ, have hardened hearts. This word hard was used in the Greek to describe marble. That's how hard our hearts were before we met Jesus. And what is the heart? The heart is the seat for emotions and will. Stubbornness. You met people who are stubborn? Don't elbow your spouses. You know what stubbornness looks like? Apart from Christ, our identity was just that of a hardened heart, not wanting to have anything to do with God. And Jesus talked about this a lot. In one example, Mark 3:5, he said, and he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. And then he healed the guy. I mean, like, just read the Gospels. And he's always talking about the hardness of men and women's heart. It all begins in this condition that you and I were born into, this sinful condition, this desire to do it our way and not God's, this desire to see the world in a framework that we've created and not in the Creator's framework. And there's just a hardness of heart that science knows more than God, that philosophy knows more than God, that politics knows more than God, that literature and the humanities know more than God. And we're just hard. It's a wall that we have put up that exists between us and God. And whenever the crazies, the nutters, talk about Jesus and talk about religion, it just builds our wall higher. It validates our thinking. But the truth is, there's this hardness about it. I talk about Jesus, I talk about God, and if you're apart from Him, there's the resistance where I just don't know if I want to listen to this. I don't know if I want to hear this. Continuing backwards in verse 18, he also says, apart from Christ, we were ignorant. You and I were ignorant. Just completely oblivious to God's truth. You and I live in concrete and steel. I mean, that's all we see. Concrete and steel and a saguaro cactus, you know, every quarter mile. Palm tree. And that's kind of like our spiritual condition. We see trees. We see vegetation, kind of, but we don't really see it. You know, in Phoenix, it's just concrete and steel. And we don't catch the truth of God, Creator, because we live in this city created by man with all of its stuff. We're ignorant. And the root of that word ignorant is what? Ignore. It's not that we just don't see it. It's that we don't see it. It's there. We pass by it. But we just ignore it. All of God's attributes, all of His truth, the structure and order of this universe, we just keep going and we ignore it. And thus become ignorant of it. Paul also says, number four, that we were darkened in our understanding. I mean, the picture just gets bleaker and bleaker. We were darkened in our understanding. And the Greek verbiage here shows that this is a state that will continue. It's everlasting. It's just ongoing. It's who we are, and there's no break in it unless Christ comes and changes it. It's just the way that we are wired. We are darkened in our understanding. Turn off the lights someday. You know, just turn them all off and just sit in the darkness. That's the description of our spiritual condition apart from Christ. And all of this leads to that first part of verse 18, the big consequence, which is that before Christ, we were alienated. Not just from God, check it out, but from the life of God. This hardness of heart, this ignorance, this darkening of our understanding, what was the cause and effect relationship? It caused us to be alienated from God. And again, that is that same kind of verb that I said was used over here in darkened understanding. It's a perfect over here. It's just this ongoing state. We were alienated from God. In Romans, it says that we were enemies of God. But all of this thinking, all of this wiring in our sinful condition has caused us to be separated from Him. And listen, you say, well, God, that doesn't sound like a loving God. Well, but I just got done talking about, we are the ones who put the wall up. It's our hardened heart that has done this. We don't want to live according to what He tells us, how He tells us to live. We push back on that. We don't want to touch that. Here are the rules for a godly life. Here are the rules for success or life itself. We don't want to touch those things. We want to have it our way. And so we are alienated. We are separated. In church language, there has been a separate, sin separates us from God. There's been a separation between man and Creator, Creator and creation. And because of that separation, we keep going now into verse 19. It's not over yet. The bad news is that in addition to these five other things, we were callous to our sinfulness apart from Christ. We were callous to it. Ongoing callousness in the original language. If some of you after church go and shake If you go shake Bill's hands and you just kind of feel his fingers, he'll look at you strangely first. But if you just, you know, feel his fingers against the palm of your hands, you will notice that they're very hard. Right here, and right here. Actually, on his left hand. Why? The guitar. Years of playing the guitar, building up calluses so that it doesn't bleed and cut his fingers anymore. Calloused, hard. Paul is saying that we've become hardened to our sinfulness. Not just our spirit is hardened to God, but we've become so numb and so desensitized to sin that what ends up happening, we just want more. We're like the junkie who's had that fix for a while and it just doesn't work anymore. And when that fix doesn't work anymore, what does the junkie do? It takes more and more and more. So as a 16-year-old, we've experimented with this sin. As a 22-year-old, we moved on and now it's this sin. And it just snowballs. Apart from Christ, we are not only hardened to Him, but we are callous to our own sinfulness, to our own demise, to our own destruction, making choices that are just stupid and get us in all sorts of trouble. When if we made the right choice, we wouldn't have that trouble. Does everyone agree with that concept? You know, I'm teaching my kids all the time, make wise decisions. Why? Because I want to just be a rule master? No, because I want what's best for them. Make good decisions so you don't have to incur the consequences of your sin. We've been hardened against Christ. We become callous to our own sinfulness, which leads to more sinfulness. It says specifically that He has, it says, and given themselves up. He gave themselves up. God said, you know what? You don't want me. You don't want me. You put this wall up against me. Fine. Have at it. And so God, like he said in Romans 1, he said, he gives them over to their sin. He gives us over to our sin. We don't want anything to do with God, and God says, okay, fine, enjoy it. And so we delve deeper into the disgusting, vile nature of sin. He says sensuality, which can be translated self-abandonment, or this is a hard word, but licentiousness. It's an old word. Without license. Sexual excess. We just go and look at our society. I mean, it is defined by sex, ladies and gentlemen. Everything is sex. It's the top tier sin. It's in our face all the time. And so God gives us up to just run around like animals. Although we were made in his image, you know, we act like animals. And then he says greedy, which can be translated insatiable. Sin is insatiable. We always want more. Track with me, right? I mean, agree with me. You step over the line, you sin, and it doesn't satisfy, right? It promised you. Sin promised you a good feeling. Sin promised you something positive. But every time you step over the line and you participate in sin, it leaves you hollow, it leaves you empty, and it leaves you wanting more. Because it didn't satisfy. It didn't live up to its bargain. And then he says, every kind of impurity, spiraling down, sin leads to sin. It leads to every kind of impurity. This is like the junk drawer for sin. But the word impurity can also be translated garbage. It just leads to every kind of garbage, refuse, stuff you would throw out of no value to you. This is our spiritual condition apart from Christ. This is who you and I used to be. And this isn't new to the Bible. Take your finger and hold your spot in your Bible, but turn left in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. We don't do this very often, but I'm going to do this. Turn to Romans chapter 1. We're in Ephesians, so it's about two or three books, I think, to the left. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Someone have a church Bible and found it? What number? What page number? 939, if you got the church Bible. And read this long passage with me. It's so interesting to me how this long passage mirrors what Paul's just said. He uses the same exact language, but he unpacks it quite a bit more. Paul says again in a different letter to a different church, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, here we go again, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Church, our governor is taking money away from schools in order to build bigger prisons. I don't care about your political slant. That wasn't a political comment. It's just a reality. Our world is not getting better. Apart from Christ, the prisons are getting bigger. Our education and the growth of our children is getting smaller. There are more and more homes in CPS. Apart from Christ, we're delusional. We're futile. Thinking that we've created a better society? Apart from Christ, this is who we used to be. But the good news of the gospel, the great and glorious good news that you and I can hear today and embrace, is that Jesus frees us from all of that. All of that futility, all of that darkness, all of that just absurdity. He frees us from it and he gives us life. New lives. The old self is done away with. The new self is given freely. So where you and I don't have to walk in that anymore. And we can walk in newness of life. Remember when we baptized? Walk in newness of life. So Paul continues and he says, verse 20, But that is not the way you learn Christ. That's not the way that you learned Christ. He's going to give us three things about the new self. What changes a man or a woman from living in the futility of their minds to living in Christ? Three things. The first being, you and I have learned Christ. What is the difference between these two people, the old self and the new self? It is first that you and I have learned Christ. Now, verse 21, he unpacks it just a little, and then I'll try to talk on this a little bit more too. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. Here's the deal. In your Bible, I'll give you permission to cross out a word if you want. But in the original Greek, that word about is not in the original Greek. It literally says, you have heard him. There's no preposition about. You have heard him. What is the difference between those who are apart from Christ and are in Christ? It is that we have heard directly from God himself in the person of Jesus Christ. These people are walking in darkness, darkness, darkness. The light has shone and the light has spoken. Have you heard from Jesus? Not just about Jesus. We have so many kids who are taught in Sunday school and so many adults who have been taught in Sunday school and they've heard all about Jesus. But you know what? They have not heard from Jesus. My heart has been broken for the last 12 hours because I posted something on Facebook several days ago. It was a John MacArthur quote that said, if you could lose your salvation, you would. We are Southern Baptists. We believe in the security of the believer, the perseverance of the saint. If you truly have been saved, you are saved forever. And one of my good friends, who I went to church with as a seventh grader, commented, I lost mine a long time ago, Scott. No regrets. And my heart breaks for him. Because he grew up in a Christian family and he heard all about Jesus, but he never heard from Jesus. The question I have for you this morning, have you heard from Jesus? Not just cerebral knowledge about him. Has he spoken to you and have you said yes to him? Not to the expectation of your parents as they drag you along to church. Not to the expectation of your spouse as he or she drags you to church. But have you heard from Christ himself and have you said yes to Jesus? Big difference. Because yes, we read the word, but the church, the word is the capital word, W. It is Jesus himself. We don't study words, we study a person. that is not you because you learned Christ, assuming that you heard him and were taught about him and were taught in him. The truth in Jesus, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. This is the way to salvation. This is the way out of darkness. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. We are different. We are not separated from Christ. We are in Christ because we have learned Christ. And listen, not just a head knowledge, but we've learned because we've experienced him. Why am I standing before you? Not because I've memorized scripture, not because I've learned things, but because I have witnessed Jesus work in my life. I've witnessed his reality and his truth, and I can't deny it. I'm not going to get in a Facebook argument with my old friend about it. But I pray that when he comes here next month for vacation to visit his family, I get a chance to sit down and explain how God has worked in my life. I'm not going to argue with him about apologetics and science, because I have this one truth that every single day of my life, God is at work. And I have story after story after story after story because I've learned Jesus. Amen? Number two, we were changed by Christ. Because we have learned him, we have been changed by Christ. Verses 22 through 24 tell us to put off our old selves. He says to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So I'm going to need you to pay attention a little bit because I'm going to get English nerdy, okay? All right. You can take your little pencil or your pen in your Bible. In verse 22, just circle the word to. Verse 23, circle the word to at the beginning. And verse 24 at the beginning, circle the word to. There are three prepositions to. You got those? 22, 23, and 24. Now, if you want to draw arrows and mark these or draw little things or notate in your Bible, this is good stuff. Verse 22 is past tense in the Greek. Verse 22 is past tense. That means it happened in the past, class. Verse 23 is present tense. Got that? And then verse 24 is back to past tense. What is Paul saying? You have put off your old self. It's already happened. Verse 24, it says, you have already put on your new self. It has happened. The difference being verse 23, where he says, you are currently, should be renewing your mind. Tracking? Does the teacher need to come around and look at your work? This unlocks so much for us and our understanding of sanctification, our understanding of God's work in our lives right now. What Paul is telling us, those who are now in Christ are in Christ because at a point previously in their life, they made a decision and they decided to put on Christ. And they decided to take off their old self and to live in him. There was a moment in time, there was a decision that each of us have to make, saying yes to Jesus or no to Jesus. And we enter into the fold and we get a uniform, we get the t-shirt, when we say yes to Christ. And if you are no longer living in the futility of your minds, if you are no longer spiritually dead and darkened, it is because at one point in your life, you put away your old self and you put on Christ. You made a definitive decision in time and space. So, when I was a junior in high school, God spoke to me. Jesus spoke to me. And Jesus said to me as a 16-year-old, I want you to become a preacher. I said, yes. Okay? I continued playing basketball, which had been my idol, which had been my God. But after having broken my ankle the season before during the summer league, I immediately broke my nose also. And I just felt that was enough. God broke my ankle, now he broke my nose. I'm done. God wants me to be a preacher. I can't do both. You tracking? And so what happened? I turned in my uniform. I took off my varsity uniform. Symbolically, I took it off and I gave it to the coach and I said, I'm sorry, I won't be trying out this season. I took off my old life of everything I knew, of everything that I had value in. As a 16-year-old kid, I get it, but that was the world to me at that moment in my life. What is the world to you? Is it Jesus or is it something else? Because Christ is calling you to put it away and to put him on. And he wants us to keep it on. See, there's so many Christians that, you know, we put it on, but then we kind of try to take it off. The point is, you can't take it off. It's like a permanent tattoo now. So we try to hide it instead. You know, think of a police officer. He puts on the uniform. He writes tickets. He, you know, eats donuts and all that. But then there's a moment, you know, later in the day, he drives to the station and he clocks out, right? And he goes to the locker room and he takes off the uniform, right? Puts on his civilian clothes. And then he drives home on the freeway at 75 miles an hour. That is not you and I. That should not be you and I. See, a police officer, right, you would think, should uphold the law all the time, even when he's not on duty. Catching it? You and I should be in Christ all the time, not just on Sunday morning or midweek Bible study or with our children at the dinner table. God is calling us to wear Christ all the time. And it says that this has happened in a moment of time. We put away our old things. Like we're like children who take out the toys and they get cluttered. All, you know, the whole room gets cluttered because we take out the toys. Mom and dad say, take the toys back. No, the reality as a Christian, we take those toys and we take them to the dumpster. And we're done with that life. And here's the other thing. We don't go back to Toys R Us and buy other toys. Because we like to do that too. We dump the old self, but then we go back to the store and we pick it up again. No, he's saying, you have thrown that away. Keep it thrown away. You have put Christ on. Keep wearing Christ. Because he is in the business of creating things new. Verse 24 at the end, created how? After the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Ephesians 2:8, we read earlier, said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He's about creating us, recreating us back into his image, the original image that he intended in Genesis chapter 2. And so Christ calls you and I to wear the uniform. To keep it on. Romans 13:14, he says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires. Put him on. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Baptism, symbolic of us putting on Christ and putting away the old self. Now, truth number three then, we'll finish up at truth number three, is that we are being changed by Christ. So we have been changed, but we are also still being changed. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. See, we go back to verse 23 and it says, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds And remember, I said that's a present tense verb. Right now, you and I have a job to do, and that is to continually, daily, moment by moment, be renewed in our minds. We have become a new creation, but we are becoming a new creation. The Bible speaks of this kind of metaphor that of now and of going to be. This ongoing process and this definitive process that began in our justification and will culminate in our glorification. But it's the now but not yet theology. What do we need to take away from this? We have the old self we put away, but we got to keep putting it away. We got to keep putting it away. We got to keep putting it away, and we got to keep putting on Christ, and we got to keep putting on Christ, and we got to keep putting on Christ. How? We were delusioned. We are futile in our mind. It's all in the mind. How do we put on Christ? We put him on in our minds. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed." How? By the renewing of our minds. That by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The battle for our heart, the hardening, the potential hardening for our heart, begins in our mind. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. It begins in our mind. We take captive the thoughts of this world and we chuck them out. We don't let them come in. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? We have, because we have been given the mind of Christ. God, Creator, it's about faith. This, what I'm talking about is about faith. Do you truly believe God is good? That God is all powerful? That he created creation perfect and we messed it all up? And that we continue to mess it up apart from him? Or do you believe, do you have faith to think that you're smarter, better than God? That somehow we live in this Renaissance byproduct of civilization and we know more. That truly all our aspirations, all our idealism is moving us into a better society. Because it just is not. Read the headlines. Don't stray away from the newspapers, people. It's really bad out there. My neighbors got their purse stolen last night. It's really bad out there. So here's the deal for me. Garbage in, garbage. Hebrews chapter 4, it's not up on the screen, but verse 12, you've heard it before. For the word of God is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the bone, piercing the division of the soul and the spirit of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's word is convicting. It's like a scalpel going in. And every week that I preach, I have to be faced by God's word. I have to listen to Christ in my own life. The call is to put off the self, the old self, to keep the new self. The call is to continually renew my mind. And so as I'm dealing with this message, you're not alone. This is hopefully, this has affected me. Hopefully it's moving in you, your minds. But point being, I had to deal with this text and I had to self-examine and I had to ask the tough questions. Have I resurrected the old self? How much of the old self is sticking to me? You know, am I wearing Christ? Am I renewing my mind? And so this week I was convicted. No, I'm not super at this. And specifically, there was a TV show that I had been watching on Netflix. In its third season, it came out, and I was excited to see it. Got three or four episodes into it, and God said, stop. Stop watching it. It's just garbage. And guys, I wanted to watch it. I wanted to finish it. I wanted to see how it concluded. I love story. I was an English teacher. I love story. Are you kidding me? You're gonna tempt me and I can't get to the climax and the resolution of this grand arc? But he said, stop watching it. And so you know what I did? I stopped watching it. And you know what? I'm okay. And you know what? I feel life. Because as good of as good of writing existed in that show, as good of production that was in that show, as good of acting was in that show, it was garbage. It was the opposite of life. It was so real. That show was so real to the first four verses that we dealt with this morning, of darkness, of futility, of darkness of understanding, of ignorance. It was so real. It captured it so well. Why do I need to take that in? When what does Christ call us to? Life. To life. Where does it say? They are darkened, verse 18, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God. Are you tired of that? Do you desire life? Life. You know, you can breathe. Standing on top of the mountain, fresh, clean air. That's foreign to us. Our central truth, Jesus frees us from sin and he gives us life. He frees us to life. The question for you and I today, what are you willing to abandon? What are you willing to finally just let go? Recognizing that it doesn't give you life, it just takes away your time, takes away life, takes away time for you to actually experience life. What is Christ calling you to give up so that you can get back to fully putting on Christ? What areas of your life have you been putting the old uniform back on and hiding Christ? What do we, as a people of God this morning, need to confess and repent of, turn away from? And will you do that this morning? I strongly believe that God has put something in your head to give up, to abandon, so that you might experience the full measure of his life. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we praise you. We give you glory today, and we ask that you, who began a good work in each of us, would continue that work. And Lord, that you would call us into deeper waters, that you would call us into greater repentance. Lord, that you would make us more bendable and pliable and moldable. Lord, that you would help us this morning to surrender, to submit to your power, to your glory, to your holiness, to your call, to your love and mercy. And Lord, that you would continue to renew our minds, Lord. And we pray this all for your glory and for your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.